Amen. Thank you, Paul, or Brother Tom. I did it again. Okay. All right. So, okay. All right. So we do have one. We can make a copy, Norm. So, okay. All right. So, all righty. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to finish 1 John this morning in our Sunday school time. We're not going to go into 2nd and 3rd John. We'll get that here, but we'll start a new study next week. But in 1 John chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 14. We'll read down through verse 21 then. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it. All right, unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And that concludes 1 John chapter 5. Now let's go back and look this morning at these verses, and hopefully the Lord will give us something that will help us this week. God wants us to be confident. How many of you, and I'll be honest now, I think this is something we'd all have trouble with, but how many of you from time to time find yourself struggling with confidence in spiritual things? Okay? Look, I don't hear it's 100%. 100%. I mean, and we're going to talk about prayer this morning a little bit. How many of you sometimes have a hard time having confidence in your own prayers? Amen. You pray and you don't know if, you know, and it's just the human nature. Listen, God wants us to be confident. Tommy Higgle said this. He said that God wants us to be shouting Christians, not doubting Christians. And I like that. And there's a lot of truth in that. God wants us to be shouting Christians, not doubting Christians. Now, if we're going to be confident and we're going to win people to Christ, there are three things that are very important that we need to have a handle on. And that is, one, our prayers; two, our protection; and three, our position. Our prayers, our protection, and our positions. And let's talk about our prayers from verses 14 through 17 to start with, and give you a little illustration of Tommy Higgle here. I look around and I say, we're way down today in our Sunday school time, and a lot of folks out of town, and some are sick, not able to be here. But anyway, I think that you can probably surmise that the Sunday school crowd and your Wednesday night Bible study crowd is pretty much a core group. I mean, that's just a reality. They're going to be the ones that take the extra effort. And I'm grateful for every person that comes in at 11 o'clock. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for every person. May the Lord send the whole house full at 11 o'clock, all right? But the reality is your core church is not Sunday morning 11 o'clock. It's just not. Those are not the ones that are going to come for the extra things that's going on and get involved. But in this core group, I would probably surmise that most people here are praying people, right?
Yes.
That we pray. I mean, maybe not as often as we should, maybe not as intently as we should, but I believe we probably are a praying crowd. So I think we can understand this. After his Sunday sermon on prayer, a pastor stood at the back door and he was shaking hands. And a little boy came by and said, "Pastor," he said, "my mother says a prayer for me every single night." And the pastor said, "Well, that's great. What does she pray?" And the little boy said, "Thank God he's in bed." Now, we can all understand that and appreciate that, right? And so the reality is prayer is a very vital part of all of our lives. And in our walk with God, it's very vital. And it's vital because the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It amounts to a lot. It makes a difference. Now, there are times when we, you know, by uplifted hands, we all testified that a minute ago, that there's times we don't have confidence in our prayers. We don't know when we're praying if it's going to make a difference. But listen, the Bible says that it does make a difference. It does make a difference. Now, how can we be sure that our prayers will be effective? Well, by answering two questions. Number one is, when we pray, is it in the will of God? Is it within the will of God, what we're praying? John writes, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Chapter 5, verse 14. So how can we know we are praying in the will of God? Now, it's a loaded question. How can we know that we're praying according to the will of God? Well, one of the easiest ways to understand is to remember that God's will never, ever contradicts his word. Okay? Now, a few years ago, we had a young couple that came to church. They got married in our church, and they don't live here anymore. But he talked spiritual smack all the time, just all the time. Just, you know, and they never came Sunday nights, or just, it was a very rare exception if they did, or Sunday, or Wednesday nights. And I don't know, Denise had a yard sale or something, and she had something in the yard sale that he wanted. And so they came over after church on Sunday night and wanted to pick stuff. And so Denise just said, you know, well, we missed you tonight. And he said, well, and he always referred to the Holy Spirit, always. And he's talking about, well, he told me to take some rest. And Denise said, no, he didn't. She said, because the Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word of God, and the Word of God commands us to be faithful. And so you're that blowing smoke in the wrong direction here. That don't wash. And boy, he didn't know how to respond to that. He was just stammering and stumbling and whatever. And so anyway, but the Word of, listen, the will of God never, ever, ever contradicts the Word of God. And so if what you're praying and saying, I think this is God's will, but the Word of God's clear on it, against it, then you're not in the will of God in your prayer. Okay? As simple as that. Now, that's why it is so important, and I think, again, I'm talking to the choir here, preaching the choir, but that's why it is so very, very important to know the Bible. It's why it's important to attend a church where the Bible is taught and preached. Because if you don't know the Bible, you can't know if what you're praying is out of the will of God or not, because you don't know the Word of God. And there are so many Christians today, I believe they're Christians, but they're weak and they're anemic, and they just know nothing of the Bible, and they operate entirely off of emotionalism. And you talk to them, and it's like, well, I think this is what God wants me to do. Well, how do you know that? Well, that's what I just believe that. Well, what do you base that belief off of? You know, off of your feeling? You know, one of the things that bothers me, and this gets you in trouble with a lot of people today, when you start discussing the Bible, and I've heard this growing up in church all my life, and get into talking business church, and they say, well, brother so-and-so, how do you feel about it? Can I be honest with you? I don't care how he feels about it. I really don't. And you say, well, preacher, that offends me. You got to get thicker skin than that then, because you're in real trouble in the world if you're that thin-skinned. But the reality is, I don't care how I feel about it. It's not about feeling, it's about fact. Fact based upon the Word of God. And if we know the Bible, and we understand that what we're praying is consistent with the Bible, then we have confidence that we're praying in the will of God. Now, praying according to His will reveals the purpose in our prayer. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, prayer does not change God. Prayer changes me. Yes. And boy, there's a lot of truth in that too, isn't it? Before trying to determine if our prayers are in the will of God, we must first make sure that our lives are in the will of God. Now, if we're living out of the will of God and we're not doing what God's asked us to do and we're not, or what God's told us to do in the scripture, and we're saying, Lord, you know, I want you to answer his prayer, there's problems with that. Let me tell you what the problem is. Psalm chapter 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if a person that is a Christian is going around half-heartedly, living for God half-heartedly, they're not faithful to God, they're not faithful to their devotion life, they're not faithful to their Bible prayer life, they're not faithful to church, and they know they're saved, but they're just coasting around, and you know what? They're already out of the will of God. Why? Because it's a sin not to be faithful to services. Hey, read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. That's a command. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together. That's commanded. It's not optional. It's not how I feel about it. It's a command of the scriptures. And if I'm not, you know, and if I'm not praying like I ought to, the Bible says pray without ceasing. You know, that's a command. That's not an option. If I, you know, and I'm not talking about Christians who are going out and they're drinking alcohol and they're cursing and they're doing, listen, we already know that's a sin. And there, listen, people who participate in those sinful activities, well, they know that. You don't have to tell them they're out of the will of God. They already know that in their heart. If they're truly born again, the Holy Spirit's really making them miserable. And the most miserable people in the world are Christians who are not in the will of God. The Holy Spirit just makes them miserable. And listen, and the reality is, you don't have to go to those extreme sins to be out of the will of God. You can just not be obedient, and you're out of the will of God. And when you're out of the will of God, let me tell you, James, the book of James says, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. And when we hoard sin in our lives and not deal with that sin, it affects our prayer life. And it shakes our confidence in our prayer life, and rightfully so, because the psalmist said, if we regard iniquity, if we regard sin in our heart, we don't deal with that sin, God's not interested in what we have to say as Christians. We start saying, Lord, I need, God plugs his ears and say, yeah, when you turn to me and you repent and call, you know, what is 2 Chronicles 7:14? Call by my name, humble self, and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. But until then, Christians who have undealt with, unconfessed, known sin in their life, their prayer life is shot. Amen. They have a shot prayer life. Now, listen, does that mean God absolutely don't hear them? No, he just chooses to not to hear them as far as answering them, because until that Christian, now, Sally, in fact, I forgot, you asked me the other day about some scripture, and that just come to my mind, and I apologize, about does God hear the prayers of sinful people that are not saved? Well, sometimes he does, to let them know and prove to them that he's God, and it shows what he could do for them if they were his, you know, if they were his children. This is a different guideline, this is a different ballgame. We're talking about Christians here. We're not talking about lost people. But Christians who have undealt with, unconfessed sin in their life, it absolutely hinders their prayer life. And the scriptures make that clear. So to have our prayers answered, the first question is, we need to ask, is what I'm praying about within the will of God? And am I within the will of God? The second question is do I believe that God will answer the prayer? Now, let me tell you, even if you know that there is no undealt with, unconfessed sin in your life, the human part of you wants to doubt, okay, God, you told me you would answer it, and I'm asking, and I'm praying, but somehow, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. Anybody ever get to that point? Lord, this looks like a mighty tall order, and I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I believe you're going to answer this. And if we pray according to God's will, and if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him, John 5:15. So prayer, understand this, prayer is not a time, it's not talking with God about what we want, but it's about what God wants. Yes. But Jerry?
I have a question, and it's a question I've asked over and over and over, especially in recent years. We have children and grandchildren that we've been praying, Lord, bring them around to you so that they will go to be, my number one desire in life is, if I can have anything I want, is to have all of my family with me in heaven.
Yes, that's right.
And we have prayed and we know
Well, my opinion, Brother Jerry, and that's a great question in relation to prayer, because, and we're going to, when we finish this, I think you'll see the connection there. There's no doubt when we pray for others, it makes an impact on them. And when we pray for somebody to get saved, and we ought to do that, we ought to pray for the salvation of other people. But one of the things, as we go through this, the rest of this study, you're going to find out there's no doubt God hears that. And I believe God answers the prayer in this sense. When we're praying, God save so-and-so, I believe the Lord then takes the Holy Spirit there and says, deal with them. But here's the thing. That is a very difficult prayer. It's a difficult prayer to be answered, even for God. Not that God can't answer, because God wants to save them. But here's the thing. God will not violate their will to save them. So we can pray and say, Lord, deal with their heart. God, please bring them to the point of being saved. But the reality is, and the Holy Spirit's going to do that. But when it's all said and done, it's still their choice. Just like it was my choice the day I got saved. Now, we can pray, God, bring all the circumstances to where they'll know they need to be saved and they'll want to be saved. And God can do all that. And God will do all that. But when it comes down to it, He will not, even upon our requests and our prayers, He will not violate their will to make them get saved.
I have one quick question. What I do is when I'm praying and whatnot, I get doubts or something like that, and He's going to answer this. Two things come up. The verse of Scripture that says, whatsoever man speaketh, he's held accountable to God. Every word that you
speak, every idle word will give an account for. Right.
So I know God's listening.
Right. Well, we'll see as we go on. There's no doubt God's going to hear our prayers. He's going to answer our prayers. When we pray for people for salvation, I do believe we've done all we can do, and God's heard the prayer, and the Holy Spirit deals with them. God's done. That's one of the only things that God shortens His hand to do. If you said, Lord, heal them, He can choose to do that or not. That's totally within His power to do it. When we're saying, God, please save somebody, I believe without a doubt we've done all we can do. We've prayed and we keep praying and we keep praying and we keep praying, and God's doing all God can do. He's speaking to their heart. He's dealing with their heart, bringing circumstances in their life. But God will not violate that person's will to force them to be saved.
So that answers my question on God washes His hands up, so to speak.
Well, that's another issue with itself, and how far God's very patient, long-suffering. But let's move along here, and I want you to see this, because we look at this. Again, prayer is not demanding what we want from God. Prayer is talking to God about what He wants. And obviously, in that question Brother Jerry asked, God wants people to be saved. So that's within the will of God to pray that. Now, note that John does not say, listen to what he does not say. He does not say, we shall have what we ask, but he writes, we know that we have. It's not a shall have or in a question mark, but we know that we have. And it means the answer is immediate when we pray. Now, this is, don't misunderstand where I'm going. This is going to take a second to plow through this to help you understand it. But when we pray, prayer's answered right then. Right then. But now follow with me, okay? Follow with me. That does not mean that we will realize the answer right then, okay? God hears us immediately when we pray. That's what the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. And the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. So the minute we pray, prayer is answered. We may not realize the answer immediately, but God has already answered. Now, keep this in mind. What do you mean? God answers immediately. Sometimes God answers, all the time, God answers our prayers in one of three ways. Yes, no, or wait a little bit. Yes, no, or wait a little bit. The Bible contains one story after another how God always answers prayers. If your faith is weak, you say, oh, I don't know about this. Then how do I get more faith? The Bible tells us. Read the Bible. Get into Bible study. Read the Bible. Study your Bible. Because Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that all-powerful verse that says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to increase your faith in your prayers, read your Bible more. Ms. Jeannie?
Pray a prayer and you say thank you for the answer.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. We can thank him for the answer right then, because God's going to answer that prayer immediately. Yes, no, or wait. It's not right now, okay? Now, faith comes by hearing the word of God, or literally hearing the words of Christ. Saving faith doesn't come in a vacuum of some mystical experience. It comes from the word of God, which contains the gospel, or the gospel of Christ. So it's the words of Christ. Now, in regards to our prayer, we must remember that God never gets in a hurry. We get in a hurry all the time. I'm always in a hurry. Anybody like that? I'm always in a hurry. My wife tells me from time to time, just calm down. And I'm, going down the road, I go somewhere, I want to get there. I go to the store, unless it's Bass Pro Shop, I'm ready to get in and get out. And at Bass Pro Shop, I go spend a few hours walking around in and looking at everything. But I go in the grocery store, I know what I'm going after. I don't have to go in there and shop. I'm going to go after ice cream and honey buns and the good stuff. No, I know what I'm going for. If I go clothes shopping, I know pretty much what I'm going to go for. I've got my mind. I go straight in there. Either they got it or they don't. If they don't have it, I'm ready to go. I'm not going to go. Ladies, I know some of you ladies enjoy shopping. And the old cliche, the shop till you drop. I've dropped 10 minutes after I got in the store. I'm done. But God never gets in a hurry. The answer, again, is always immediate, but delivery is sometimes delayed. Sometimes delayed. For example, let me give you some Bible examples. Abraham waited how long for his promised son? Prayed 30 years. 30 years. I can't help but think of, and we're out of time and hadn't got to the first point yet, so we may have one more week of this 1 John chapter 5. But this is important, very important. We had a young family when we first started the church. We went to school and Sunday nights, Wednesday nights in our home. And they were both Bible college graduates. Had had everything handed to them they'd ever wanted. They'd never had anything turned down they wanted. Family sent them to college. They got out, right out of college. Both had jobs, good paying jobs. Good paying jobs. In fact, got a promotion not long after that. They bought a town home. Lived in it 10 months. Sold it, made $22,000 on it in 10 months. That's a pretty good deal. They turn around and sold out, bought a house. They lived in it less than a year and a half, sold it and made a ton of money. And everything was going good. They never attempted anything that they didn't succeed greatly in, but they wanted children. And they came to me and sat down several times and talked. They actually spent thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars in trying to get help to have children. And the longer it went, the more bitter you could see they were getting, because it was something that they couldn't control. And finally, I had been on a trip preaching in North Carolina and came home, and they came over, and after the Bible study, they said, "Well, we just want you to know we're not going to be back at church anymore." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that. What's the problem?" And you could just tell they were all pruned up and bitter, just bitter. And they said, we've been praying for a child for 2 years or whatever it was, 2 or 3 years, and we've not been able to, and God's going to do what he wants to do. There's no point in praying anyway. He's just going to do what he wants to do. He don't care what we want. And so we're done praying. And, of course, they didn't want to hear what I had to say. I said, "Because you're praying selfish. You're not trusting." And I just brought it out. I said, "Look, you guys have had everything handed to you on a silver platter all your life. You're spoiled little brats." That's what I told them. I said, "You're two grown, spoiled little brats. Mom and daddy's handed you everything on a silver platter, and you've had everything you ever wanted. Nobody's ever told you no. And for the first time in your life, you're up against something you have no control over, and you don't know how to deal with it." And they looked at me and said, "It don't matter. God's going to do what he wants to do. It don't matter." I said, "Listen, I'm telling you, God's a God of faithful promises. And if you'll ask him, and you'll trust him, and you'll wait on God, God will take care of this need. We're just going to do what we got to do. God's not going to do it, so we're going to take matters in our own hands. We're going to do what?" So they hauled off and go over to Russia and adopt a baby. Well, that's wonderful. I think it's great people that adopt children. Instead of killing them off, they're adopting them. But here, and I'm going to have to close here because people come in. But listen, here's what happened. They were so excited. They finally had a baby, but yet you could tell there was a resentment that it wasn't a natural born child. You know how many natural born children they have now? I know of at least two, if not three. You see, God told, I believe God spoke to their hearts, and that's what he's saying in his word now. There's times when we pray, and God says the answer is either yes, no, or wait. And listen, the Bible makes it crystal clear. Psalms 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Just because God doesn't just, listen, he hears immediately. And he answers immediately. It may be yes, it may be no, or it may be wait. But listen, there are times when we simply have to say, God, I'm going to keep praying and keep trusting you because you know what's best. And I'm not going to stop praying until the answer is clear. Now, gets back to them, we're going to stop here because we're out of time. But as like Brother Jerry said, for your loved ones, and all of us have families that we want to see saved. We pray for them. Now, it's because I didn't see them saved today, don't mean I'm going to stop praying for them. You know? You got to understand, it's difficult for you to talk to them and get through to them. Understand God's God. But it may be difficult for God to get through to them. Because they've hardened their heart so hard, and they've got such a defense wall up even against the Holy Spirit that God's having to work bits and pieces to plant seeds and to help tear down that defense wall. So don't ever quit praying. You know, because you prayed this morning and it wouldn't answer before dark tonight. Listen, sometimes God does. Sometimes we pray and we can see the results immediately. Sometimes it takes time. As long as we're praying within the will of God and that we're living in the will of God, and there's no undealt with or unconfessed sin in our life. Listen, we have the promises of God. It is not a hope-so, maybe-so prayer thing. It's a no-so prayer thing. We know that he hears us. And we have the petitions that we ask. How patient are we to wait on God for our prayers? That's the key. Sometimes, Vandell Hudson, I've mentioned this several times, and we're way over time here, but Vandell Hudson's grandmother prayed for her son for over 40 years before he finally got saved. What if she had quit at 15 years? What if she had just gave up and said, Lord, he's never going to get saved, and just quit praying? Chances are he might have never gotten saved. But because of the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, it avails much. So keep praying. Keep trusting God. Even when you have doubts. Jackie.
I just had a question about verse 18.
Okay.
We talk about, we know that who was born of God, whoever is born of God, is not, but he's begotten, and God keeps himself. Can you explain that? Because it kind of sounds like Christians don't sin.
Yeah, we'll come back next week and finish that. But what he's saying is, listen, this, it's not saying that the Christian never sins. And you back up a little bit, he's talking about the sin and the death, and we're going to talk about that next week. I really want to spend some time there because it's very confusing. There is a sin the Christian can sin and the death, and God says, okay, I'm just going to take them out. I'm done with them. They won't listen. It's not saying that Christians don't sin, because all through the book of 1 John, the book of James says, when we sin, it's when we sin. We're talking about habitual sin here, and let me just throw this at you, and we'll come back and talk about this in depth next week. But some of you wouldn't remember, Jack, it's for your time, but some of us in here can remember in the 70s. I was a little kid, but I remember in the 70s they had the Flip Wilson show. And Flip Wilson had Geraldine. And they had the Flip Wilson dolls. They had Geraldine on one side and Flip Wilson on the other side. And you could pull a string. And one of the very familiar sayings that Flip Wilson would say was the devil made me do it. Well, what he's saying here is the devil can't make Christians do anything. We have, and that goes under the protection. We're going to talk about that next week. We're talking about the prayers, the protection, and the positions that we have in Christ. And so That's not saying that from time to time Christians are not going to slip up and sin. Now, it does say that Christians don't live in habitual sin of the same kind over and over and over and over and over. I think, and I'll go ahead and bust the bubble for next week to a level, I think Christians who live in habitual sin are marked for death. God's not going to tolerate that. I believe that's a sin unto death. That if they will not deal with it and it's repetitive and just and they just won't deal with it, I think God will take them to heaven early. I think God will kill them over that because he won't tolerate that. But we're not talking about, you know, in a weak hour when somebody slips and they sin. And by the way, and it can be the same sin that they slip in too, because most likely the people in this room today are not battling multiple sins all the time. Most likely, every person in this building today, if you've got a sin struggle, it's usually over one or two or three sins. It's your weak points. And you get victory over it, and you go for a while, and you slip and fall in it. And you get victory over it, and you go a while, and you slip and fall. That's not habitual sin. You know, habitual sin is you just do it and do it and do it and do it, and you just let it, the chips fall where they may. And again, we'll talk more in depth about that next week. So, okay, thanks for coming this morning. We're over time already, and folks are out waiting. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed, and we'll greet people coming in. Brother Bill, would you dismiss us, please? Father.